And it started with Hakdama, to say for Breshit of the Nitziv. I've recently reconnected with the Nitziv, and especially his Perush al HaTorah, just to have a sense of who the Nitziv was. The Nitziv, his name was Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, and he was in the later half of his life one of the two Rosh Yeshivot of the Yeshiva of Valazhin, which is a very, very famous yeshiva that was in, you know, probably the most famous yeshiva, the progenitor of all the yeshivas in the late 19th century. And one thing they know about the Nitziv is that when the Russian government finally came and said, you have to teach secular subjects from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and only then can your students learn Torah, he said, forget it, and he shut down his yeshiva. But he was a very, very bold thinker. He was a very, very dynamic personality. And the more I study about his writings on the Chumash, the more you realize that his philosophy is really critical and important and valuable, and he has a lot to tell us even today. And so, as you'll see from the Hakdama, and we're going to see also how it's hidden, how it's embedded, his understanding or his unique perspective is embedded in his Pirush on Chumash. I'm writing a piece about this Hakdama, but I think there's a lot to be said for the visions that the Nitziv had. It's also taken as for granted that the Nitziv was one of the progenitors of the religious Zionism. He was what you would call a religious Zionist, the Tzioni, before there was such a thing. There wasn't religious Zionism, but he was considered, you know, someone who's very supportive of the building of the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael and the development of the community in Eretz Yisrael. And today he would, I believe, I mean, the beauty is you can claim whatever Rabbanim you want, you know, he would be a rabbinic leader, a visionary in our community. But he's not with us. Okay. After the Nitziv?
Well, I didn't really know a lot about the Nitziv, but I heard a little bit, and then I left the name.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, the more you learn about the Nitziv, the more you will like what you hear.
Naftali
Tzvi? Very nice. Okay, beautiful. Yeah, that's a tremendous zchut. Okay. Like in Orot, where I work, they had some department that, whatever, I won't tell you which one it is, they made this series of pictures, of portraits, like artistic portraits of, like, religious Zionist leaders. And, you know, you have, of course, Rav Kook and Rav Yehuda Kook, and, you know, and
you would have that.
Yeah, you would have that. But historically, though, like, for one of the first two or three is in Nitziv that he appears there. And I never, everyone has, or many people have this chumash called HaMikdavar. You have a HaMikdavar in your house, but you never, like, read it. You know what I'm saying? You're like, you have all these other chumashim to read, and I don't know, sometimes I've just really, really been taken with the Nitziv. And because, even though it's a Hakdama for Breshit, we didn't learn Breshit last week, but it also relates to Noach, as we'll see. So we're not going to just skip Noach. We're going to do this introduction part of it, and then we're going to go to Noach and see how this theme that he develops, it's a theme that I believe developed all throughout Sefer Breshit, but it also develops in the first two parashiot as well. So it says in the Nitziv, and I'm going to read from the Hakdama that we have here on line 3. Okay? HaSefer Nikra Sefer Breshit. You can follow along. The book that is called the Book of Breshit, Nikra B'pi HaNevi'im Sefer HaYashar. It's called Sefer HaYashar. What is Yashar? What is Yashrut?
Right. Honesty.
Honesty. Yashar is honesty. You know what I'm saying? But the word Yashar means someone who's what? Upright, straight. It could mean, that's the idea. It could mean a lot of things. What does it mean to be Yashar? Let's see in a second. Kid'ita b'masechet avodat kochavim. Okay, it says in Sefer, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Ashnei mikraot b'sefer Yehoshua, same mikra, there are two pasukim. In Sefer Yehoshua it says, Halo hiktuva al Sefer HaYashar. This thing is written in Sefer HaYashar. And in Sefer Shmuel Ber it says, Vayomer l'lameid b'nei Yehuda keshet halo hiktuva al Sefer HaYashar. So in two places it refers to this idea of this Sefer HaYashar. So what is Sefer HaYashar? Umafaresh Rabbi Yochanan, I'm on line 6. Zeh Sefer Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, shenikru'u Yisharim. And Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are called Yisharim, and the book of Bereishit is the book chronicling the lives of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So we call the book after the Avot. So it's called Sefer HaYashar. Shene'emar, Tamot Nafshi Mot Yisharim. Who said that? Anybody know? Tamot nafshi mot yisharim, uti achariti kamohu. Bilam said it in his in his, remember when Bilam went and he had to try to curse the Jewish people, but he blessed them. So he said, Tamot nafshi mot yesharim. May I die the death of yesharim. I want to die like them. So who are the yesharim? Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, so that's what the Nitziv says. So this book is called Sefer HaYashar. V'yesh lehavin hatam. He says, I want to try to understand. Lama kara Bilam et avoteinu v'shein yesharim b'yichud. Why do you call them Yisharim? Right? Tamot nafshi, mot tzadikim. Tamot nafshi, I'd love to die like the chassidim, like those righteous people. If we would say, oh, that guy is a, you know, even today you would say, oh, that Rav, he's such a tzadik. Right? You wouldn't say, oh, he's such a yashar. What does it sound like if I would say he's yashar? He has yashrut.
Straight up. Honest. Difference straightforward.
Difference between that and a tzadik. My,
Yashar sounds like in your everyday living.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like a connection with God, Hashem.
Yashar sounds like what sounds connection with God?
It's Sadiq.
Sadiq sounds connection with God.
And Yashar is with other people.
Ah, very nice. Okay, very, very good. Actually, this is exactly what the Nitziv says. Okay? Vagam, line 8, I'm in the middle of line 8. Lama mechuna ze sefer b'yichud b'kinu yisharim. Right, why is this called Sefer HaYashar? Ubilam hitpalel al atzmo shehe acharito kmo ba'alei zeh hakinui. And Bilam said, I want to be like those people who are called Yesharim. Why did he say, what does he mean? Why is it called that name? And why did Bilam say, I want to be Yashar? V'hainyan shenitba'er b'shirat ha'azinu. He says, I'll explain to you based on what it says in ha'azinu, where it says, al ha'pasuk, and this is a quote, Hatsur tamim pa'alo, right? We say about, Moshe Rabbeinu says about God, Hatsur, he is the rock, tamim pa'alo, el emunah ve'ein avel, I'm just telling you by heart, right? El emunah, a God of faith, ve'ein avel, tzadik ve'yasharu. God is a tzadik, and God is also a yashar. God is a tzadik and a yashar. Okay? Sheshevach yashar, ne'emar lahatzdik din hakadosh baruch hu b'chor ban bayit sheni. Since we look at the Midrashim on that Pasuk, the Midrash says that Pasuk is talking about Bayit Sheni. Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo, he is righteous. El Emuna Ve'ein Avel, he doesn't do things for nothing. Avel means sinfulness. Tzadik V'yasharhu. God is a Yashar. What is he a Yashar for doing? What did he do? He destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. Why is God a Yashar for destroying the Beit HaMikdash? Well, why did he do it? Line 11. Shehaya Dor Ikesh U'Pitalto. That's the next Pasuk. In that verse, Dor Ikeshu Patalto, which means it was a stubborn and corrupted or crooked generation. So what they do wrong? One second, what they do wrong about Jenny? He says, Upeirashnu, Shayut Tzadikim Chasidim Va'amalei Torah. They were big Tzadikim, they were big Chasidim, they were big, they knew Torah backwards and forwards. Achlo Hayu Yesharim V'Halichot Olamim. But they were not righteous in the ways of the world. Alken, line 12. If they sinat chinam sheli b'libam ze et ze. Listen how he describes sinat chinam. Chashdu et mi shira'u shenoheg shelo kedaatam b'yirat Hashem. It's a critically important line. What does it mean, sinat chinam? They saw someone else worshiping God, fearing God, in a different way than they did. And they said, they chashdu shehu tzduki v'apikores. And they said, that guy who doesn't follow the religion, the way I follow religion, he's an apikores. What?
Oh,
it's like, sounds so familiar. Okay? Ubao al yedezel yedez shvichut damim b'derech ha'haflaga. What does that mean, derech ha'haflaga? You know what, that's a very important term. I didn't know what it meant until yesterday either. Derech ha-haflaga. What does it sound like? Haflaga? Anybody know? What? No. Haflaga. What is haflaga?
Haflaga is like a group, isn't it?
Grouping. How about haflaga?
It's just segregation.
Separation. The derech ha-haflaga. What he really refers to, and this is where we're going to get to Parshat Noach, but derech hador ha-haflaga. The generation of the dispersal. Which is the generation of what? Anybody familiar? Are you familiar with that term? It's an important term.
It's from
Migdal Bavel. Yeah. Correct. As we will see, you can put a little footnote on there. The generation of Derech HaPalaga. He says, what does it mean What does it mean that they had sinat chinam? That sinat chinam for people who didn't worship Hashem, people who are equally Torah oriented, equally religious, equally righteous, but they worship differently. That's sinat chinam. He says that, that caused death, shvichut damim, and that brought about Churban Bayit Sheni. I am in line 14. Ulechol Rosh Abalam, terrible things in the world. Ad shecharav habayit, until the Beit HaMidrash was destroyed. Va'al yizeh hayat siduk hadin. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said was right. Shakadosh Baruch Hu yashar. God is right, is straight. Ve'eino sovel tzadikim ka'elu. He has no patience for tzadikim like that. You know, you want to be a tzadik? Or there's a, I think my grandfather that term. And I don't know, I'm not sure the Yiddish, you can probably help me. He called it a tzaddik in pelts.
Pelts in a fur.
What?
It's like a what in
sheep's clothing?
Wolf in
sheep's clothing?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you mean, tzaddik in pelts means like, you're tzaddik in, like, I'm a tzaddik in my own world, I don't have to relate to anybody else, what anybody else thinks, what, you know, anyone else around me.
It's like wrapped around in fur.
That's exactly right, a tzaddik in pelts, that's exactly the point. We've got toys. Oh, but no gate. No gate. Okay. Okay. That's up to you. I can't help you with that. Okay. Ve'eino, I'm on line 15 again. Eino sovel tzadikim ba'elu, ela ba'ofen shehochim b'derech hayashar, gam b'hiluch halichot olam, v'lo ba'ak mimut. You got to be a tzaddik not only in how long your tzitzis are, and how long your peyot are, and how many hours you learn, and how much tapiyomi you do, but also in how you deal with other people, and as people who are not, as we will see, people who are not as religious as you, or people who are as religious as you, but different, or non-Jews, especially non-Jews. And this is something that I think, you know, we might be necessarily good at, you know, people that are as religious as us, or different religious than us. Non-Jews, we're not so good at. You know what I'm saying? We're just not that good at that, as we'll see in a second. He says, okay, av al gav shehu l'shem shamayim, even though it's for the sake of heaven, sheze gurem churban habriyah, that causes the destruction of recreation, v'harisot yishuv haaretz, and just causes the destruction of the settlement of the land. Yeah, we'll stop for a second. I'm on this email list. An educator email list called LookJed. Anybody familiar? Anybody here a Jewish educator? Yeah, anybody can get on, it's free. It's from Bar-Ilan. It's worthwhile if you're an educator of any kind. And so a teacher of mine, he sent out an article that he wrote, a link to an article he wrote in the Jerusalem Post, about how in the religious Zionist community, he's in America, he's a modern Orthodox rabbi, a very prominent person, about the commonality of Arab hatred in the religious Zionist community. And so I actually defended our religious Zionist community, and because he wrote a very broad strokes about how general and widespread it was. So on the list, I wrote back and said, you know, if you're going to criticize the community, you can't just say the whole community. You have to say specifically what you're talking about. You have to say specifically, you know, what area you're referring to, because it's not fair to paint such a broad picture. You have to come with information. But why are you frowning?
Well, he's got a point.
He's got a point.
Interestingly, from where you're talking.
What?
Which group are you talking about?
What do you mean?
Excluded
from Arab hatred?
Yeah.
You think that it's so widespread that across the entire religious Zionist community there's widespread hatred of Arabs?
I don't teach them, it comes out of the LDS.
I have to say...
They learn it at school?
Yeah. We're in all times, in all age homes, and the experiences with work. My father was, there were lots of Arab metaplim. And they had such respect for the Jewish patients,
yeah.
And they treated them with such care. And there was absolutely no...
See, it's so interesting. If that's your experience...
There was no issue.
My experience is not to that degree. I don't sense it coming from the school. It might come from kids. I don't sense it coming from the school.
Not from the school, but from the kids.
Where my child was at Gun and there were rockets. They came home with rockets that they had made.
Yes.
And they were like, what? Are you teaching our children? No. They came home and they said, because when the bad Arabs shoot rockets at us, we're going to shoot back at them. They made this in Gun.
My son came home from Gun saying...
Wait a second. Let's go outside of Gun.
But what are you supposed to tell?
in Gan, he says that the Arabim ha-rasha'im, the rasha'im live.
There are rasha'im, but there are what's that? You have to distinguish. There are rasha'im. We can't define. The question isn't are there rasha'im. There are rasha'im, but do we paint all Arabs as rasha'im? We do.
An Arab is a rasha.
That's a problem. So as a parent, you have to mitigate that. It's not healthy. Now this yeshuv actually is interesting for those of you listening at home. It's interesting because a good chunk of the community has been, I would say, irreparably tainted by a traumatic experience that came from years of rasha'im, you know, ceaselessly attacking civilians. So it's very, I understand that perspective.
Did you know, like, going around the
I did, of course.
Can I just say,
but what did the Rosh Hashanah, one second. Did everybody see the email? Describe the email.
What made me so disgusted.
There was an incident, but
the Jews' total hatred
one second.
Towards another.
There was an incident of a small group of youths, you know, without provocation, beating up an Arab worker. It was an incident. One second. But I asked my son about it. And I emailed him. I said, well, did you hear about this? He said, no, it happened before the Chagim. He said the reason why he heard about it was because his Rosh Yeshiva got up and in no uncertain terms spoke about how horrible and disgusting such behavior is. I mean, so to say that it exists is not a question. But what lesson are we...
It just happened with the new Tohar building that's going up.
No, but this is the incident. That's the incident we're talking about.
No, there's separate? Nothing new. There was a fire and there was vandalism on the building.
Yes. Okay, I'm not denying that it exists.
But the hatred...
So comes up... Great, fine. Comes along the Netziv and says, you want to be yashar? It is not a Torah value to hate other people, no matter what. We'll see in a second. Now, if you're a victim of hatred, it's very hard to overcome that. If you are, you know, if you suffered and you lived in Gaza and lost your home literally and your life was overturned because of that, it's easy for us to judge. You know, we came from very different circumstances at very different places.
And also their friends were murdered.
Yeah, right. I'm really not judging. But that doesn't mean that people from our background, who I would say are more liberal in that sense, we don't have that emotional baggage. We don't have that. That's an important contribution. To say, you know, I don't think it's productive to describe, and if your kid comes home from Gan, to call the Ganetet and say, this is not acceptable to me. You want to say that they're Rishaim? No, but that's okay, you have a voice. Let them say that, but you have a voice. But and you have the right to say.
But in some ways, I mean...
It's important. We're Anglos, that's exactly the point.
The kids are defense. I mean, there was something healthy in their activity. You know, you get shot with rockets and you don't feel helpless. You know, they gave the kids... there is something to
look at. Again, I don't mind the rocket per se. Yes. I mind the fact that all are Ravim Arishayim. And they can't argue with that. All are Ravim Arishayim.
It sounds like they said that.
What do kids get?
The Rishayim that are shooting.
Okay, yeah, we are, and then we'll go on. Fan
often says that working in the big wide world, that the most racist people that he comes across against Arabs are the left wing.
Let's go back to line 15. It's just the language that he uses is very sovel. What is sovel? Is not patient. What? Suffers.
Tolerant.
You know what I'm saying? God does not suffer tzaddikim like that. God doesn't want tzaddikim who are righteous in themselves, but have no patience for other people, intolerance of people who are different than them. And he's talking specifically, not necessarily about non-Jews, but people who are different than them religiously, wear a different color kippah, different color hat, you know, dress a different way, and you know what I'm saying? Let's not do the old, Rabbi, that was a great speech, so-and-so should have heard it. We're all victims of this to some degree, you know what I'm saying? Hainu, okay, wait a second. Vizeh, line 17. Hayah Sheva Ha'avot. This was the praise of the forefathers. Shemevad Shayu Tzadikim V'chasidim V'ohaveh Hashem V'ofen Ayoter Efshar. They were great lovers of God in the greatest possible way. Od hayu yesharim. They were also yesharim. Hainu, meaning she'na'agu im ha'umot ha'ulam. They acted or dealt with the nations of the world. Av shehayu ovdei elilim mechu'arim. What language he uses? They worshipped disgusting idols. Ovdei elilim mechu'arim. Right? Mechu'ar is disgusting or ugly. You know? I forgot all my English. It's crazy. Mikol makom hayu imam be'ahava. Nonetheless, they loved them. V'chashu l'tovatam. And they wanted what was best for them. Ba'asher hu kiyum ha'briyah. Let's remember, the Torah does not start with Shemot. The Torah starts with Bereishit. Right? We sometimes forget, yes, we are a nation. We're the Jewish people. But Adam HaRishon, right, we speak about God creating all of humanity. And it's our responsibility not just to worry about ourselves and our own people and our own community, but we have responsibility for the world. And we not sometimes, we almost always neglect that point. We forget that point. Kamosha Anu Orim. Orim, we see. Kama Hishtacha Aleph Aleph is Avraham Avinu. To what degree did Avraham Avinu, he prostrate himself, Lihitpalel Al Sodom? Right? What does Sodom represent? It represented the opposite of Avraham Avinu, the ideal of depravity, of sinfulness, of hatred, of an inability to get along. Mikol Makom, nonetheless, Chafetz B'Kiyumam. He wanted them to continue. God said, I want to destroy Sodom. What would you have said? What would we have said? God comes to you. I mean, my piece I'm writing, you know, God sends you an email and says, you know, I've had enough with Vegas. You know, it represents sinfulness. It represents depravity. So, I'm going to destroy it. What would we say? You know, God, you're God. Sounds like a plan. You know what I mean?
New Orleans.
New Orleans, that bad? I don't know. I've never been to New Orleans. I've never been to Vegas either, but... You know what they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Now, really stay in Vegas. That'll be the end of it. Can you imagine a place with a logo like that, with a slogan like that? What does that mean when you say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Come do all kinds of disgusting, depraved things. I mean,
no repercussions.
What? No repercussions.
Yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Leave with a clear conscience.
Isn't that unbelievable? It's like, that place represents, you know, hey. There was a Stephen King book once, like a long one. I think one of the only ones I read is called The Stand. You know, like all the good people after some great plague in the world, all the good people ended up, I don't know where, and all the evil people ended up in Las Vegas. Anyway.
Although there's now a thriving Jewish community there.
There is.
Mm. Orthodox.
There is.
Growing.
Yes, there is.
Growing.
Yeah, you should know that.
Big.
No, there's not. It's not so big anymore, but there's two Vegases. There's the Vegas you see in the movies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That
that's
the strip. Wherever, and then there's all the people who do all the jobs to support all that industry who live, you know, somewhere else. But just change the name. Okay. So Avraham, God comes to Avraham and says, you know that place Sodom that represents everything that's the opposite of the things that you've been trying to teach the world? I'm going to destroy it. And what did Avraham Avinu say? Chalila lecha me'asot davar kazeh. You imagine saying to God, God forbid you should do such a thing? You know what I'm saying? Avraham Avinu should say, great! My cure will be easier now. You know what I'm saying? But he does not.
Things to worry about.
Yeah, right. Mikol makom, line 20, chafetz b'kiyumam. Uberabah, in Bereshit Rabah, Parashat Vayera, ita al seh, she'asah HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Avraham Avinu, ahavat tzedek, v'tzina reshet. I think that's not a good type. Somebody typed this in. I found it on the internet. One second. She'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'Avraham Avinu. Amar, not asar. It's a mistype. Okay? It's Amar. That's a pretty big one. Okay? Ahavat tzedek v'tisna resha. You loved righteousness. Ahavta l'tzadik, l'tzadik et bri otai. You loved to bring righteousness, l'tzadik at them, to justify them. V'tisna leharshian. And you hated leharshian, to make them into evil. V'chein harbe l'amanu malichot derech avod b'derech eretz. Ma shashayach al kiyum ha'olam ha'myuchad l'zeh ha'sefer. Shu Sefer HaBri'ah. You want to know why we read what Bereishit is called Sefer HaYashar? Because it's the book of Yesharim. A people who not only worshipped God religiously, spiritually, but they worshipped God in the way they dealt with other people. The way they dealt not only with the people of their own faith, but the way they dealt with their other people, people not of their own faith, who did things differently than them, and who did things that they rejected. nonetheless, they dealt with them in love and compassion, and for the sake of God created them.
That's creation.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything for this generation. He knew that God was going to destroy everything.
Very good.
Now he didn't even argue. He just built his
Let us see. Okay. So that's one interpretation. Okay, we're going to skip to 1 second. What was wrong with the generation? Okay, so, and I just want to show you how these themes, and the Nesiv continues on this theme. Turn to Perek Vav Pasuk He. Okay? And now remember, by the way, I find in the Nesiv's Breishit, oh yeah, I've got more. Okay, I found that the Nesiv's Hakdama incredibly prophetic, because remember, the Nesiv was writing, and you should just know, the European Jewry, I mean, for all the wonderful things that you could say about it, European Jewry was not known for its love of the different groups for one another. You know what I'm saying?
No.
For the love, Mislag Hasidim, forget it. No. Even Polish Jewry, you had two groups of Polish Jewry. You had the Galicianim, and what were the other ones? The Galicianers and the Litvisha. They didn't like each other at all. And if you ever talk to Western European Jewry, what they thought about the Eastern European Jewry, and vice versa.
The Czech and the Hungarian.
Yes.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
And the Yekas.
They weren't very good at liking each other.
They're still not.
What?
They still aren't.
We're not that bad.
Not so much.
Not so bad. It flares up. Once. Yeah?
Come on, look at Shidduchim.
I don't know.
Talk to anyone that deals with Shidduchim. Like, you're slightly different, Derech. Not even interested. Won't even go there.
Yeah, I'm not in my experience. That's why I don't deal with Shidduchim. Yeah, that's a problem. The problem with that was, and I think that their terrible mistake was, the tragedy of what they did was, they turned what was essentially a turf fight about real estate into a religious fight. Because it has, what? Really? You think it's more about religion? You think they care that they're, I really don't. I think it was much more about who gets that building and who gets that land. All right. So it's really bad. I mean, you want to say it's bad? I won't say that. It's bad. But I won't, and therefore. But then Nesiv said, that brought about, it's not for nothing that he brought in, like in his introduction, Chorban Vayicheni. He says this destroys communities. It destroys communities. It destroys worlds. God hates it. That's frightening. You know what I'm saying? Because it's chillingly prophetic and scary for us today. He's good. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Except after his athletic parents, what can I tell you?
I think it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Late
in 19th century. Mid to late 19th century. I don't know if he died in the early 20th century. I think he died before the 20th century. Okay? So he didn't see it, but he saw it coming. Anyway, Vayar Hashem, the end of Bereshit. Vayar Hashem said, God, Vayar Hashem, God saw, Ki rabba ra'at hadam ba'aretz. That evil had promulgated, had grown on the land. V'chol yetzer machshevot libo, and all of his desires, rak ra kol hayom. All he wants to do is evil. God is evil. Mankind is evil. All he wants to do is bad things. Okay? Vayan vayinachem Hashem ki asa at adam ba'aretz. God regrets. He has nechama. Nechama means consolation, but here it means nechama. He has, how does he translate it?
Repented. God
repented? No.
And it repented the Lord.
Again?
And it repented the
Lord. It repented the Lord, okay.
That he had made the man.
Wait, what is the ideological problem with this series of psukim?
Well, Hashem knew what was going
to
be.
Right. Yeah. God, who's infallible and perfect, seems to have made a boo-boo. Right, so you can't say that. How does the squirrel translate it?
Hashem reconsidered having
made reconsidered. You know what he can't say? What does it really mean?
Regretted.
Right? You can't say that because God can't regret. Does anybody have any? Those are all the translations we have. So you understand it, how it's so interesting how difficult it is to translate that word because of ideology.
Where are we?
Perek Vav, the end of Bereshit.
We're not in Noah.
We're getting there. Okay. Okay? It is a shir about Noah, I think. We'll get there. Vayinachem Hashem Yisrael at ha'adam ba'aretz. Vayit atzev el libo. That's great. It's fine. I recommend the coffee. Did you go for the coffee or the tea?
Why are you tired?
You can't drink coffee. What can you say? Vayit atzev el libo. Vayit atzev el libo means what?
Sadness.
He was sad.
Hashem was sad.
God was grieved in his heart. Okay? This is very, very interesting. So God grieves, right? It's sad. Did anybody have a targum? Do you have a... Not unklus. Is there a Yerushalmi, targum Yerushalmi on it? Do you have the other targum? You only have one. What does he say at the end of Pasuk Vav? What?
Pass it down.
Yeah? Va'amar. That's Pasuk Vav?
Adain. I hope so.
No, it's okay. It's all right. Because I think he quotes a second. He quotes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm not.
When
he does, he makes it.
Yeah,
starts again.
Yeah, starts back. Ve'edyan aleihon b'memrei. I don't know what that means. I'm not that good. Edyan. A second. Lashon tsar v'yagon. Anguish. In his words, God was anguished. So the Unklus is not afraid. The art scroll is a little afraid. Okay. What does it mean, rak rak kol hayom? They were just evil. They were so bad. So as we all know, we've studied this actually in years previous, that there was sexual depravity. There was immorality. Anybody want to guess what the Netziv says happened?
There was no Torah.
Yeah, but there's still basic human decency, way of behaving.
Okay. Let's see. Rakolayom, you don't have to see if I can't. I didn't quote anything. Yadua, he says it is known. Dirahu ben adam lachaveiro. Anybody see a theme developing in the writings of the Netziv? What is ra? Rak rakolayom, the way they interacted with each other. Heira katuv, the Torah is telling us. Ech shadam avad kol kach dat enoshi. They had lost such a sense of humanity. All they could think about was how to screw the other guy. Okay? They were worse than the animals. Why? An animal doesn't want to hurt other people, right? The lion kills people. Why does he kill people? He's hungry. Right? It's not trying to destroy.
Excuse me.
He just says to eat.
To
what? I saw your Facebook post.
Seriously.
Did you catch it?
No.
I know why the problem is. We have the same problem. I'll tell you how to solve it.
No.
Yeah.
It's nasty.
What?
It's nasty.
Did you put out traps? Put out food traps? And it didn't work?
No. But you have to.
Did you put away your garbage?
Yeah.
You closed it up and put it away?
Yeah.
You have to use a sticky trap.
You don't use a
sticky
trap?
Oh,
I
use the sticky trap.
Okay. Well, the mice. I'm sorry. Masha Enke. Adam Shigi Ali Dekach. Person, man, humanity had come. He becomes so depraved. So says the Netziv, I'm trying to show you the theme in his writing. What was so bad about humanity? God could have, the idolatry, You know what I'm saying? I could deal with that. They had gotten so negative and destructive towards each other that's all they wanted to do was destroy one another. And that's why God said, I got to destroy the world. Okay, let's turn. Yeah, let's talk about Noah. So what was so great about Noah?
Do you feel like we're living in a similar time right now?
No, I don't think it's so bad. I think that we have to study the Netziv and learn the Netziv in order to fix our problems. I don't think it's so bad. I think there's tremendous goodness. When push comes to shove, you know, sometimes I believe. Yeah, sometimes I believe that negativity, that God sends suffering to us in order to remind us of what's really important. You know what I'm saying? But when push comes to shove, and when people are suffering, the goodness comes out, no matter where you're from. And it's not like, haha, good, you suck. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't happen that way. We don't say that to each other. We don't revel in the suffering of other people. Sometimes we forget. And so that's why it's important to learn the Netziv. I think that, you know, the whole Beit Shemesh thing is of great concern. Like, we can't, it's very difficult for us to live with one another. Like, don't like the separation. And even now, like, well, life is great here. Why is life great here? Because we're happy in our own community with our own kinds of people. You know what I'm saying? And you should just know it's not so simple, because if you're a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, then things start getting a little bit, you know, the friction begins, as opposed to the real, the live and let live, especially the let live of people who are not exactly on the level that we would want them to be, that I would want them to be. Okay, but we digress. Thank you for your patience. Okay, Vayhi kol ha'aretz safa achat udvarim achadim. The land was safa achat, one language, udvarim achadim. Okay, united words, udvarim achadim. Vayhi benas am mikedem, and it was when they traveled from Kedem. Vayimseu bika be'eretz Shinar vayeshu sham. They found a valley in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Vayomru ish el re'ehu. And they said to each other, "Hava nil bana levenim v'nisrafa l'sreifa." Let us nil bana brick bricks and burn burnings, okay? Burn fires. But tehilam halevena le'evin v'achemar ya lehem lachomer. The levena, the bricks became stone, and the translate here, help me out. The chemar became lachomer.
And their bricks were stone and slan. Had they for mortar.
Great. Vayomru. Sorry. Vayomru, and they said, "Hava nivlan lanu ir umigdav rosho b'shamayim." Let's make a name for ourselves, right? Lest we spread out. So God went down to see the city and the tower that they built. Vayomer Hashem, said God, "Hein am echad v'safa achat lekulam." They are one nation. They are one language for all of them. V'zeh achilam la'asad. This is what they start to do. V'ata lo yibatzer lehem kol asher yazmu la'asad. Says, and now it will not be held back from them all that they have, their yazma, they have the initiative to do. Hava nirda, this is theologically troubling, let us go down, okay? V'navla sham sfatam, and we will confuse their language, asher lo yishmu ish sfat ve'ehu. So they will not be able to understand each other. Pashuchet, v'yachetz otam, Hashem otam, misham et p'nei kol ha'aretz, v'yachdelu libno ta'ir. God spread them out. As we all know, spread out, he confused their languages. They couldn't understand each other. Al ken krashma Bavel. That's why it's called Bavel. Kisham balal Hashem sfat kol haaretz. Because there God livlo, mixed up, confused the language of all the land. Omisham efitam Hashem al pnei kol haaretz. And from there, God spread them out throughout the entire land. Okay, so as you all know, you can give whole shiurim on the structure and the language of the story of Bigdal Bavel. You had that last year, didn't you? Somebody gave a shiur. Didn't read, you know, it's not just say yes, then well, we all, it wasn't me. It wasn't my shiur. I'm sure Rina did it. Okay. About there's a chiastic structure in the language, Nivla, Levelim, Balal. Is it ringing a bell?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, a little bit. Just faking. Okay. So the question that comes up, the obvious question that all the Mefarshim have to deal with in the story of Migdal Bavel, and this is the story of what's called Dor HaPalaga, Lafli, to spread them out. God spread them throughout the entire world, is what they do wrong.
Yeah. Because it looks like they just wanted their name made as a builder. I mean,
they built a town, they built a city.
They wanted to be famous builders.
Right.
According to what you just read.
Weren't they arrogant and they wanted to reach out to Hashem?
Very good. So that's Rashi based on the Midrash. Right? And the Midrash says that they tried to conquer God. They tried to overtake God. They wanted to create war against God. No, it doesn't say it at all. It's a totally Midrashic interpretation. What? Yeah, of course, because you want to fight with God. If God destroyed the world, he will no longer be able to destroy the world. Why? Because we're gonna, when he wants to open up the window of heaven to pour down on us his mabul, we'll be up high and we'll beat him up there and we'll close it again. Or we'll, you know what I'm saying? We'll knock that, we'll knock him down. What? These are Noah's descendants. After the destruction of the flood.
Don't get along, and whether there's hatred, that we all need to sit down and have a common discussion. We need to have, you know, understand the terminology and the culture of each other. And there are always, you know, these, you hear about these groups of these Palestinian youths and Israelis, etc., etc. So I feel like this sort of confuses the whole thing. It's on the chaveiro thing. When you have, you know, when you no longer have the same language and the same cultures and you're spread out, I feel like it complicates.
Okay, hold on, we'll get there. Okay. So what was the problem? I only have 4 minutes. So,
no.
What?
One.
Really? I've got four on Tammy's watch, and she's the official timekeeper. Okay. And apparently the driver, so I'm in good shape. Okay, I'll wrap it up. Says the Mitzvah. What? Tell your husband? Oh, he's texting you? Help! You know, okay.
Can manage
He's very capable. He's very capable guy. Says the Nitziv, what is the reference? He says, what is this reference to the Nilbana Levinim? Who cares how they made bricks? Like, what in the world is that? Nitziv says, this is a reference to who built the city, Nimrod. And it's a reference to the Kivshan Ha'esh. If you'll notice, if you try to find the story of Abraham and the Kivshan Ha'esh, Abraham is throwing the Kivshan, it doesn't appear. It's only a Midrashic story. What?
It's a Midrash.
But it's a widely accepted Midrash, and it's taken as fact in Jewish culture, Jewish literature, correct? It's taken as fact, but it doesn't appear on the Chumash. And the Tziv says this is a reference to the Kivshan Ha'esh. It happened in this is the generation. Why did it happen? He says, you don't build a Kivshan Ha'esh in order to kill people. Why do you build a Kivshan Ha'esh?
To make bricks.
To make bricks. It's the we got him. So then why did they throw Abraham into the Kivshan Ha'esh? He says, He says the following. Pen nafutz al pnei kol ha'aretz. He says, where were they afraid of them spreading out? Muvan shezeh sheyach dvarim achadim. What does it mean that they were dvarim achadim? Single words. Okay. Ba'asher ein deot bnei adam shabim. Chashashu, they were afraid. Shelo yetsu bnei adam mideazu. Ve'yihiyu b'machshava acheret. Says they wanted everyone to think the same way. They didn't want to allow anyone to think differently than them. Al kain, therefore, hayu mashkichim shelo yetzei ish miyishuv shalahem. They didn't want anyone to leave their yishuv, their settlement. Umishasar midvarim achadim shebeinehem. Anyone who thought differently than them, mishpato l'seifa. Put him to death. Kasher asu la'Avraham avinu. What was their sinfulness? Their sinfulness was their unwillingness to accept anyone different than them.
Like the Germans.
Exactly like the Germans. Exactly like any despot. Exactly like any ideology that insists that we are correct, we are the only ones, and if you think differently than us, you're a threat to the state.
It's interesting though, because it actually says...
Sounds so familiar, doesn't it?
One language and one...
Sounds good, right?
Dvarim achadim.
Says in the scene, that's terrible. Dvarim achadim is meaning God created us all to be different.
They all had the same language because
they insisted upon it in themselves. Now they had the same language, he says, but the fact that we speak the same language doesn't mean we have to agree with each other. He says they came to the point where they, no, you must agree with us. You must think the way we do. He says it's not the way God created the world, and it doesn't contribute to humanity. It doesn't contribute to human development when everybody's the same. Says the Kadosh Baruch Hu created us different, and He cherishes that uniqueness in each one of us. Now we see how it ties back to the original, to His introduction. He says, because what happens, now we go back to His introduction. Remember what He said? Remember I introduced you to the B'derech HaPalaga? In the way of the Dor HaPalaga, of that generation, who said, if you're not like me, and you don't think like me, I can't tolerate you to such a degree that I have to kill you. He says, that's what it comes to. And the obvious message is, no, people don't have to agree with you. They don't have to agree with you in the way you worship God. They don't have to agree with you in the way they live their lives. And your obligation and responsibility is to love them nonetheless. Because God does, and that's how He created them. All right, simple message. Yeah, Nikki.
1,000 years later,
as religious, do you get the mentality? Learning it. That's what we're here for. What do you want to tell you? You know what I'm saying? It's like... We allow our tribal interests, our tzidkut, to overcome this. I think that's exactly the point. Sometimes it's easier to be a tzaddik than it is to be a tzaddik tummy. All right, let's stop the shiur and then we can all argue.